2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight, we'll begin reading down there in verse number 1. Then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 in just a little bit, but I want to kick off with this 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Pay attention to this verse right here, Christian. "Thou therefore endure hardness." Now wait a minute. Isn't there a crowd out there that tells you if you're having it hard that you're not right with God? Isn't there a crowd out there that tells you that if you ain't receiving the great blessings of God and all these great things happening to you, that you must not be given enough or you must not be right with God? But according to the Bible, it said, "Thou therefore endure hardness." In other words, God expected us to have to go through hard times, didn't He? He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want to preach tonight on a real soldier. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. God, I thank you for these people that have come tonight. Lord, I know it's a little cool. Dear Father, I thank you that they came anyway. And Father, I pray that you'd bless them. God, I pray you speak to their heart. Father, I pray you'd do a great work in their life and encourage them and strengthen them, Lord. And we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I'm asking now for the help of the Holy Ghost of God. I am but a man and cannot preach this without your help. We sure need you. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach tonight, like I said, on a real soldier. Look at verse 3 again. The Bible said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, can I say to you that Jesus Christ, of course, is the first and real soldier that has ever been. He pressed forward on a lonely road to suffer and die for your sins and for my sins. And he did do that. And now he is our Savior and our Commander-in-Chief. And he is seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for the saints. And can I say to you that he is far above principalities and powers of darkness? Amen. Can I say, friend, also that the attack was on Christ? You understand that whenever Christ was here, Satan did everything in his power to try to destroy and defeat him, and the attack was on Christ. But now this means that the principalities and the powers of darkness have turned their fiery darts toward God's body here on earth, known as the church. Now, can I say to you, friend, there is an attack on God's people. If you're here tonight and you're saved, understand this. Please understand this. There is an attack on you to try and destroy you and your family. There is an attack on God's church. Satan's goal is to get you off the front lines. And I say, dear friend, that Satan's goal will try to destroy you and your family in this church. He'll do it through pain. He'll do it through discouragement. He'll do it through failure. He'll do it through fear. He'll do it through depression. He'll do it through doubt. He'll do it through bitterness. He'll do it through sin. He'll do it through getting you away from God and getting you away from God's people. But here's what you got to realize, church. Who is behind the trouble that we're facing? The Bible said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers of darkness. And I say to you, dear friend, Satan is the one that causes the trouble in the family. Satan is the one that causes the trouble in the church. Satan is the one that causes the trouble, friend, in your life, because Satan is the one that is trying his best to destroy you. The enemy hates you. Get that in your mind tonight, amen. There is a real devil out there. His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. I hate him. He hates me. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God and the hedge of God, he'd kill me in a heartbeat. And can I say to you, friend, he'd do the same thing to you if he could. And I ought to say, dear friend, a real soldier. Well, what is a real soldier? How are we going to be a real soldier? How do we do it? Understand, first of all, that we are in a full-fledged war. Are y'all with me? We are in a full-fledged war. This ain't some Sunday school little picnic that we're in. This ain't just something that we're just saying, you know, I'm going through life. One of these days I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. Really? Look over in your Bibles, Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn there. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6. Look what it says down there in verse number 10. There's a reason why he said this. There's a reason why Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and of course this is for us also. He said in verse number 10, he said, "Finally, He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Are you with me? And in the power of His might. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Wait a minute, what do we got to put armor on for? I thought the Christian life was going to be just a little cakewalk. I thought it was a blessing to be a Christian. I thought everything was going to be sweet and peachy. But the Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is our enemy, you understand. And the Bible went on to say in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that there's evil days coming? You better believe it. There's hard times coming. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to get up here and tell you that everything's going to be wonderful and everything's going to be great if you're a Christian. As a matter of fact, if you're the right kind of Christian, it's going to be pretty tough. If you're the right kind of Christian, you're going to have some evil days, friend. And the Bible said down there, it said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, he said, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So can I say to you then, first of all, number one, a real soldier puts on what is required by the commander. And God here in the Bible has commanded us to put some certain things on, friend. That why? The Bible said in verse 10, here's why. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So God's saying, here's how you're going to be strong. You're going to be strong for service. You're going to be strong for suffering. You're going to be strong for fighting. And the Bible says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some certain things that we got to put on. You know, when a U.S. soldier enters into the military, God help his soul, but when a U.S. soldier goes into the military, he wears what the commander tells him to wear. He don't go in there and say, well, bless God, I don't like that shirt, and I don't like them pants, and I don't like them shoes, and I don't like that haircut. Really? They'll put him in that chair, amen, hold that sucker down and peel that onion, praise God. And then they'll give him some old ugly clothes to wear and say, put them on if you don't like it, too bad. And you better make sure they look good when you put them on. The U.S. soldier will put on what's required by the commander. And why shouldn't we? God tells us to put on something. Look at verse number 14. He says over there, he said, stand therefore having your loins girt about with what? Truth. God said to put on truth, friend. Our loins girt about with truth. You know what the Bible said in Malachi? It said over there in Malachi 2:6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. God's talking about Levi here. In the Bible, and God said over there, Levi, he had on the law of truth. It was in his mouth. He walked with me in peace and equity. You know why? Because he had truth. And God's saying to us, the church, he's saying, hey, if you're going to be strong, if you're going to be strong for service, strong for suffering, strong for fighting, if you're going to go against the wiles of the devil, you got to put some things on. And I'm requiring as your commander to put on the girdle of truth. You know, a real soldier will gird his mind with truth. Jesus is truth. That's what the Bible said. Jesus is truth, and we learn about Jesus in the Bible. The more Bible you put on, friend, the more Bible you put in you, the more truth you put in you. The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And a real soldier will gird his mind with truth. Did you know, friend, the more truth you put in you, it'll affect the way you think and act. The more this Bible right here, this right here is truth, amen, because this Bible is Jesus. Amen, this right here is Jesus. It's a God-breathed living book. And the more Him you put on you, the more truth you put in you, then more you're going to act and walk like a Christian, like you're supposed to, like a soldier, if you would. And let's picture a U.S. soldier real quickly, if I can. You take a U.S. soldier, he's got on them scrubs. I don't know what they call it. That's what they call them, amen. They got on their work uniform, which is usually some boots and camouflage. And he's working on whatever it is. I don't know. He might be cooking. He might be cleaning. He might be working on a tank or an airplane. I don't know. But anyway, anyways, he's got them work clothes on, and he goes to work every day, and Monday through Friday, and sometimes on Saturday. And he has them clothes on. You know what? He's relaxed. He'll come home, and maybe he'll work around the yard, even in them same clothes. And he'll go inside, and he'll get a shower, maybe go to the store with his wife or whatever, and he'll be in them civilian clothes, and he's relaxed. He's just walking around like it ain't no big deal. I mean, he's comfortable, if you would. But the next morning, he has a good meeting, or a big meeting, if you would, some of the higher ups, amen, some of his superior officers, and he has to wear his dress uniform. And so he goes up there, and he gets up in the morning, and he gets a shower, and he shaves, and he cleans, and he makes sure he's absolutely trimmed and perfect, and he gets his clothes out, and he irons his shirt, or his wife does, or whatever, and he shines them shoes, and them pants got a crease down the middle of them, amen, that'll cut your hand if you rub your hand down it. And I mean, everything looks perfectly prestigious and clean. And he puts that thing on, and he puts it on with honor, and he puts it on with dignity, and he puts it on with respect. And the same guy that was outside walking around the store the other day, just like it wasn't no big deal, kind of maybe just relaxed, that same guy can put on that uniform. And when he walks out of that house that day, he's a walking different. He's a carrying himself different. He's a looking different, friend, and he's a talking different. You know why? Because of what he's put on, that's why. And the more Jesus that you put on you, can I say to you, it affects the way you think and act? And when the darkness of doubt and fear and discouragement and sin comes, and I say to you, friend, the more of Him you got on you, you'll be able, friend, to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Jesus said this, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And the more Jesus you put on you, you'll be able to handle it. Let me show you this. Yeah, a real soldier puts on what's required. He said the girdle of truth. He also said the breastplate of righteousness. Now stay with me. Now why would he say that in verse 14? He said the breastplate of righteousness because it secures the vitals. You know what's there? The heart. You know what the Bible said over there in Jeremiah 17? He said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart's wicked. Oh no, preacher, not mine. Oh yeah, yours. Yeah, it's probably the most wicked one here. Yeah, friend, it's wicked. And I say to you, friend, that Christ always wore the breastplate of righteousness because He wanted to please His Father. The Bible said over there in James 8:29, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. He said, I do always those things that please Him. Do you? Do we? Can I say to you, Jesus had on the breastplate of righteousness, friend, because He wanted to be a holy sacrifice. And the Bible said in Romans 12, He said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Why is it a service? Because you're in His army. Because you're His soldier, friend. And a U.S. soldier, you know what he does? He sacrifices his life and he sacrifices his body. For 2 years, Paul lived in a place called Caesarea. And when he lived there, he lived among the soldiers, and there's no doubt that he heard the bitter, bloody stories and the sufferings that took place. But I'm sure there's something else, friend, that Paul realized, and that is this. While Paul was around them Roman soldiers for those 2 years, listen, I believe that Paul realized that whenever them soldiers would eat, they would eat like a soldier. He'd watch them. They'd sleep like soldiers. They'd walk like soldiers. They'd talk like soldiers. You know why? They wanted to be the best soldier they could be. It was an honor, friend, if you would, to be a Roman soldier. And can I say to you, friend, it's an honor to be in God's army. It's an honor to be a soldier in God's army. And a real soldier has no time for the world. And that Roman soldier had no time for all that fooling around, had no time for that messing around. He wanted to be the best soldier that he could possibly be. And the Bible said this, church, it said, no man that warreth. In other words, he's fighting. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Because he wants to be the best soldier he can be. A real soldier puts on what's required by the commander. He puts on the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Not only that, he puts on the shoes of preparation. That's what it said in verse 15. It said down there, his seventh heaven, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, can I say to you, friend, I believe with all my heart that that shoes of preparation is a listening ear. And a real soldier is always waiting his commander's command. In the Bible said over there in Isaiah 52:7, it said, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. Listen, in other words, I believe that soldier that's got the shoes of preparation on, he is ready and willing to tell somebody of Christ. he or she is ready and willing to serve the Lord in any area, whatever God wants him to do. Let me give you an illustration. It's not a very good one, but it's good. It was a long time ago, long, long time ago, whenever I was in school. God, thank you, I'm out. You kids close your ears. I hated school. But anyways, I played a little football. And for some reason, I don't understand it. For some reason, I just don't understand it, preacher. They had me on like second or third string. I should have been on first, but anyways, they had me on second or third string. Oh, stupid coach. But anyways, I was one of them guys who was on third string. Now, if you're on second string, something like that, amen. All I know is I didn't play a whole lot. But anyways, there was a line out there that you was allowed to walk. There was a line, a little square line, actually didn't full square, but you know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a line out there that the players could walk. And then that line went a little farther that the coaches walked up and down the field. So here we are walking up and down the field and everybody's playing except old Jason. Amen. So here I am behind him. The only thing I was good at was speed. Amen. I could catch a gazelle. But anyways, he didn't care. Only certain times. So I'm walking the line. That's what we did. Walk the line. And I'd whisper, hey, coach, let me play. I was sitting there ready, carrying my helmet. Sometimes it was on. Hey, coach, let me play. And I say, hey, coach, let me get, I'll kill him. Coach, it's Kendrick behind you. I'll catch him. Coach, what about it? I mean, every now and then, I'm walking the line. Coach would be walking this way. I'm walking right there behind him. Amen. If he'd stop and turn, here I go. I'm with him. Amen. Coach, Kendrick's behind you. I mean, he'd keep on going. I'd have to stop on that line right on the edge of it. Amen. I'd stand there. I'd wait till he'd come back. When he'd come back, he'd be screaming, hollering, and cussing at that bunch out there. And I'd say, Coach, Kendrick's behind you. I'll catch him. Let me go. I ain't kidding, friend. I walked that line. That's all I did was walk that line. And every now and then, he'd turn around and say, Kendrick! Here I am, sir. Get in there. Hush, Kyle. And then there was times that I'd be walking that line, and he'd call somebody else. And you know, sometimes, preacher, that coach would turn around. Now, if your name's Jones, I'm sorry. He'd say, Jones! Jones! Couldn't find him. Next thing you know, everybody's trying to find him. And coach, never mind, Kendrick! Here I am, sir. Jones was on the sideline over there, goofing off with his helmet off. Couldn't find his helmet. Didn't know where it was at. Didn't care about the game. And the coach said, you know what? You ain't ready. Forget it. And I believe that's the way some Christians are. I believe with all my heart that there's Christians out there that are messing around out in the world. They ain't got the shoes of preparation on. They're not ready. They're not listening for God to call them into the service and work in some area. Amen. And they're playing around and messing with the world. And there's some that are walking that line, if you would, saying, God, I'm ready. Lord, I want you to use me anytime you're ready. Lord, here I am. I got everything on. Got the shoes of preparation on. Got the girdle of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Lord, I'm ready to serve you in any area. And maybe God might call somebody else and that individual ain't ready. But can I say to you, you ought to be set. Standing there waiting, ready for God to use you in some capacity of His service. And I say to you, friend, a real soldier puts on what's commanded. He said, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of preparation. Then he said this in verse number 16. He said, above all. That above all is there for a reason. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, friend. Now listen to me, dear friend. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, friend. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Why? That you may be able to quench all. Did you hear that? All the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them. There's a real devil out there that's casting them darts at you. And he's trying his best to destroy you. And he's trying it at different angles and different heights and different ways. And the Bible said, have it on. The shield of faith. Have it that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts. Amen. Can I say to you, dear friend, without the shield, you're just dodging bullets. A soldier that has no faith is a coward and eventually a deserter. When David fought Goliath, he was behind the shield of faith. That's why he did such a great work for God. In 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me ask you a question. How can we overcome principalities and powers of darkness without faith? You know what? If you have no faith, here's what's happening. All you're doing is dodging. You can only dodge so long. Are y'all with me? Whenever I was younger, we played this game called, we called it dodgeball, but it was inside a church. But it was an old church. It wasn't like the church that you're worshiping in. It had them old, them windows that was way up high. And it was in those cinder block buildings, amen, one of them shotgun-looking cinder block buildings. And we put a line right across the middle of that thing, amen, from where the pulpit used to be all the way down. And we would take a red ball, pump that thing up, get nice and hard, and we would play dodgeball. And it would hit that wall on the other side, bounce back, and you'd catch it. And if the person caught it that you threw it at and he caught it, you were out. But that line, if you crossed the line, you were out. And so anyways, you throw that ball and people dodge it and hit the wall and they try to get that ball before it crossed that line. And sometimes they'd get too close to the line, you'd get the ball and boom, you got them out. But you know, we'd play that game and we loved it. And I was good at it. I mean, I was real good at it. Usually I was one of the last ones on my team. And I was probably 15, 16, I don't know, and them 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, whatever they were, amen. I mean, I was beating them all, praise God. I mean, it was good. It was a good time. But you know what? I could be 15 years old playing that game, preacher. I'd be smoting them guys, having a good old time. Bunch of them younger. It always felt good when you hit one of them, they go airborne. But every now and then, one of them little boys would get that ball. I mean, and he'd throw it and he'd hit that wall and bounce back. And you know what you're doing? You'd be dodging, 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 trying to run out and get it, and you couldn't get it, and you'd run back against the wall, dodging. You know what? I'd get so tired. Some little old stinking runt would get that ball, and he'd throw that ball and hit you and get you out. It wasn't a big old teenage boy that got me out. It was a little kid that got you out. You know why? Because you can only dodge so much. A Christian that has no faith, you can't dodge fiery darts all the time. You're going to get tired of it. And the next thing you know, friend, you have no faith, Satan's going to go, I got him. You're done. You're down. And you get back up and you try to do better and you say, I got to do better. I'm going to do better for the Lord. I got to do better. But your faith is not where it should be at. And he knows it. Got him again. You try to get back up. You'll never do it without faith. That's why the Bible said above all. And then he said down there, friend, listen to me. He said this. He said, put on what's required. He said, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of preparation, and the shield of faith. Then he said this, the helmet of salvation. God is our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a gift to you and I. And you know that. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, friend. And so let me say this. You must have salvation no matter how bad the war gets, how many darts are thrown. We are protected in salvation. Amen. The Bible teaches us in Romans 8, 38 and 39 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can pull us out of His salvation, friend. And Satan knows that. And once you're saved, you make sure you have on the helmet of salvation, friend. And the helmet of salvation is to protect your head. Because when Satan attacks you, he attacks you in your mind. Let me say this. This is a little lengthy, I know, but listen to me. You're going to have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And most people, don't miss this, most people don't overcome the world. And if you overcome the world and you say, okay, I'm not going to go there no more. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to hang out with that crowd no more. And a lot of people can do that. You know, as Christians, they can get to that place, preacher, where they say, okay, I'm overcoming the world. I'm not doing the things I used to do. I'm saved. Well, when you overcome the world, then you got to overcome your flesh. And that's where most people don't make it. Most people get to the place in their life where they just can't say no to their flesh. They give their flesh whatever it wants. Oh, no, I'm saved. I don't do that no more. I don't go there no more. But every time something passes by their way, their flesh can't say no. And until you learn to overcome your flesh, you're not going to grow. Now, listen to me. When you overcome the world and you overcome the flesh, then guess who you got to overcome? The devil. And that's a fight that nobody likes. Are you with me? Are you listening? You better know you got the helmet of salvation on. And then he said down there, this friend, he said, the sword of the Spirit. You know what that is? That's the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not what? sin against thee. The Word of God has not been buried under a heap of ancient rubbish, church. That King James Bible is the real sword. Amen. That right there is what we fight Satan with. That right there is what keeps us going every single day. You say, preacher, how in the world do you make it? How in the world can you travel with your family all across the country and the way that you travel and the things that you go through? And I say to you, friend, it's a wonderful life. Amen. I thank the Lord for it. Yeah, we got a trailer out there that's old and worn out, but the bus is coming. Hallelujah to God. But anyways, I know it will one day. But can I say to you, friend, regardless if it does or it doesn't, I'm going to keep on serving the Lord, keep on living for Him. You say, how do you do it? That right there. I read that Bible every single day of my life. And if how in the world are you going to be able to fight against the devil if you don't have your sword? How are you going to fight against the wiles of the devil if you don't have a sword? How are you going to fight if you don't have something to fight with? Most people, friend, they go say, well, I'm going to live a Christian life and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they beep bop around like some kind of teenager. And then all of a sudden they get out there in the world and something faces them in the world, whether it be sin or whether it be something, some tragedy or some heartache or some trouble or some financial thing. And they fall all apart and they're no longer serving the Lord. They don't even come to the house of God like they should. And the reason is this: you ain't reading your Bible. There was a preacher of old, Dr. Lee Robertson. Here's how he counseled. Are you listening? People line up in the church to counsel him. He'd sit down in the front row and he'd listen to what they had to say. You may not like this, but it's the truth. This is probably the best counseling. They'd line up. They'd come sit down. He'd listen. After they got done talking, he'd say, okay, I'm going to ask you three questions. He said, are you reading your Bible? Yeah. Are you praying? Well, no, not very good. Okay. Are you going to church? Yeah. And whatever, if they missed one of those, he'd say, that's your problem right there. You need to pray more. You need to spend time in God in prayer. And do that. Read your Bible. Spend time with God in prayer and come to church. Amen. All right. Next. And he'd listen. And he'd ask him, are you reading your Bible? Well, no, sir. Well, that's your problem right there. And you know what? He's right. He's right. Let me ask you a question, church. In this world that we live in, it's so full of wickedness and vile ungodliness and just, it's constant. How are you going to make it as a Christian, as a real soldier, when you don't have a sword? You don't read your Bible like you should. You don't spend no time with God in prayer every day. And if you're not faithful to the house of God, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, how are you going to make it? Amen. Can I tell you something? Read my lips. You ain't. A real soldier puts on what's required. The sword of the Spirit. How did Jesus fight the battle whenever He fought? Are you with me? Jesus fought the battle this way in Matthew 4, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10. When Satan came to Him, you know how He fought Him? He said this, it is written. Verse number 7, it is written. Verse number 10, it is written. Three times, whenever Satan came to the Lord to try to destroy Him, three times God, the God of heaven, He fought Him with the Bible. When the battle gets hot, thank the Lord for the Word of God. Mom and daddy, friends, preachers can't always help you, friend. You can't tag along in everybody's shirt tail all the time. There's got to come a time, listen, there's got to come a time in your life when you stand on your own two feet and you serve God. And a real soldier puts on what's required by the commander. Number two, quickly, I got to move fast. These are faster. A real soldier stands with his commander. Ephesians 6. The Bible says in verse 13 and 14, He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. The Bible said within 1 Peter 5, it says this, it said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, you listening? He said, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 said, whom resist, stand up fast. In other words, I'm not moving, I'm standing. Stand fast in the faith, unmovable. Amen. Can I say to you, dear friend, you listen to me. Like I said earlier, there's a real devil out there. God calls him a lion, and he is out to destroy your life and destroy your family. Hear me. He's out to destroy you. And when trouble comes and hardship comes, a real soldier doesn't run. A real soldier doesn't quit on God. A real soldier stands with his commander. Amen. Job stood fast. You know what he lost? He lost 11,000 animals. He lost 10 kids to death. He lost an unnumbered amount of servants to death, or either where they stole them, if you would. And can I say to you, here's what Job said. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job said in Job 23:11, he said, my foot hath held his steps. He said, his way have I kept and not declined. You listen to me, the three Hebrew children in Daniel 3:18, they said this. I like what they said. They said, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. I love it. They said, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. And then they said this, we will not serve thy gods. I love it, friend. They stood there and looked at that old stupid king right there in his eyeball, amen, and said, we ain't serving your gods. We ain't bowing down to your idol. You can forget it. Throw us in the furnace if you want to. Do whatever you want to do to us, amen. If it's the Lord's will that we perish, then we perish. If not, then praise God anyway. And can I say to you, they stood. Whenever Christ was going to the cross, He stood for you. The Bible said it came to pass when time was come that He should receive up. He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to be happening. He knew they was going to spit on Him and mock Him and ridicule Him and beat on Him. He knew they was going to kill Him, friend. He knew they were going to hang Him on a cross, but He went anyway. Over there in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they said this. They said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You know what they did to them old two boys? They threatened them, amen. And then later on, they beat them. I said they beat them. I wonder how many of y'all's been beaten for Christ. I'd venture to say that nobody. Acts, over there in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul said this, he said that I might finish my course. You know what Paul's saying? Paul said, I'm not going to let anybody hinder me. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm going to stand in the place that God's got me at. Can I say to you, Galatians 5:1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't go back to that old life. A Christian has no business leaving his commander, has no business getting away from God. And if you're the right kind of soldier and the real kind of soldier, and you put on what's required by the commander, friend, then you'll stand with your commander until the day you die. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody that would run out on God. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody that, friend, would run out in the war. I mean, if I'm out there fighting, amen, and I'm in the foxhole, and all of a sudden you got this sucker that says, I'm not doing this anymore, and he starts hightailing it the other way, shoot the sucker in the back. Amen. He's a deserter. How come we got so many Christians that are running on God? Some of y'all didn't like that. You know why? Because we're raised in a sissy-fied, fluffy world. Amen. That's what they used to do, whether we like it or not. Let me say to you, dear friend, we got too many people today that are running out on God. How come we got so many people that are running away from their commander? Why is it, friend, that we have such a little trouble that comes into our life and we leave? Are y'all listening, playing with your phones? God, why do I feel tension? Bothered some of y'all. Tough preaching sometimes is tough. Let me ask you a question. What kind of soldier is a soldier that runs away? How many people here believe that a deserter should get respect? How many people believe that a deserter should get grace and mercy? The Bible said down there in 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness as a good soldier. Now let me say to you, there is a military crowd out there in the world that won't give you no grace and mercy, and I don't think they deserve it. But God gives a lot of grace and mercy. And I say to you, friend, I don't believe we should run out on our commander. I don't believe we should leave. Paul, knowing, no doubt, he had Timothy on his mind, a son in the faith, knowing at the time he was leaning on Paul, but one day he'd have to lead. And in order to lead, he has to stand. That's why he told Timothy down there in 2 Timothy, he said, endure hardness. Hey, y'all, listen. It's not going to be easy to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be a Christian. But it's not going to always be easy. They said about George Washington, preacher, they said you could tell where George Washington had been. He said because you could follow the blood trail. He started with 10,000 men and he ended up with less than 3,000. But his men never left their commander's side. Let me ask you a question. What's it going to take for you to pull away from your commander? A real soldier puts on what's required by the commander. He stands with his commander. Let me give you the third one. I'll be done. A real soldier fights with his commander. You know how you fight with your commander? You attack the enemy. There was a statement that I read in a book. It said this. It said, battles are won only by the soldiers that fight. And many are losing because they quit attacking. Church, listen to me. Many of our churches across the country, I'm talking about Christians, many of the Christians across the country have quit fighting. They quit standing up for what was right. Many are losing because they quit fighting. Listen, the Bible said in Matthew 12:30, it said, "He that is not with me is against me." If you're not with the Lord in the war and you're fighting, then you're against Him. The Bible said this. It said, fight the good fight of faith. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier. It says, resist the devil. It also says, take the sword of the Spirit. That means you're supposed to fight. The Bible said this, friend. In other words, fight, endure, resist, and take. Fight, endure, resist, and take. There is this cotton picking, I don't know the word for it, but there's this mentality going around that we're supposed to just kind of fold our hands and sit back like sweet little people and don't do anything or say anything against anything. They don't want you to speak against their sin. They don't want you to speak against their wrong. They want you just to kind of go along with the flow and be nice and be kind and be the sweet little Christian that you're supposed to be. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you to fight. It teaches you to endure. It teaches you to resist the devil. It teaches you to take the sword of the Spirit. And we need people to take back the ground that the devil has claimed in their life and fight, friend, for the Lord Jesus Christ. They said in 1944 that during the war, listen to this, it said that one man out of every four made some use of their firepower. One out of four. Now, here's the question I have. What would happen if every one of those soldiers would have used their weapon like they should have used it? Well, here's another question. What would happen if every soldier in God's army would attack? What would happen to this church if every person in this church got involved and attacked the evil powers of darkness and fought with God and served Him to the best of their ability? What would happen to this church? If every person obeyed their commander by fighting. Many are like Saul. Jonathan goes out to fight against the Philistine, but the leader is tearing under a pomegranate tree, making vows, trying to act spiritual. Or maybe David goes out to fight against the enemy Goliath, while the leader sits in his tent, whining and scared and crying about the situation. Listen, while in the corner of the tent lies his armor and weapons. Saul was willing to let somebody else use his armor. Saul was willing, listen, to let somebody else do the fighting. How many people in our churches today are willing to watch and let somebody else do all the fighting? There's four possible attitudes for a soldier. I'm going to give them to you quickly and I'm done. Grace, you can come to the piano. There's the offensive side. Are you listening? The offensive side. That means you're fighting, you're attacking. Then there's the defensive side. That means you're going forward. You're defending, but you're going forward, but sometimes you'll go backwards. You understand? That defender, sometimes he's going forward, sometimes he's going backwards. Then there's the detent. You know what that is? That's a slacker. He's slacking. He or she is doing nothing. And then there's the deserter. He's running. He's hiding. And that's exactly what's taking place, friend. That's exactly what's taking place. Satan will do his best to get God's people on the defensive. So eventually they will detent, which means slack, and then finally they're running. And you tell me if I'm not telling the truth, preacher. That's exactly what happens. Somebody in the church, man, there was a time when they were fighting, they were serving the Lord, they were on fire for God. All of a sudden, they kind of lost that. They didn't fight as hard. They just kind of defended. Something was said, oh yeah, they'll defend it. Then the next thing you know, they're slacking, they're detenting. They ain't fighting. They ain't defending. All they're doing is just sitting in church. Next thing you know, they're gone. Is that how it happens? Let me ask you a question. What kind of soldier are you? What kind of soldier are you? A real soldier or a wannabe? A real soldier puts on what's required by the commander. A real soldier will stand with his commander. And a real soldier will obey his commander by attacking and fighting. And you cannot be a soldier unless you're saved. If you're not saved, you're not a soldier, and you never will be a soldier in the Lord's army. In order to be a real soldier, first of all, you have to be saved. You have to trust Christ as your Savior. And can I say to you, friend, I am looking forward to the day that my Lord comes and gets me. And after that's all over with, that time of tribulation and all that's over with, and God's rewarded us, and He's put us in the authority that we're going to have, those that have been called faithful and chosen is coming back to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Oh, happy day. I'm looking forward to that. You think I'm mean now? Wait till then, praise God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a soldier at all? Have you ever been saved? And if you are saved, what are you doing in God's army? What kind of soldier are you? Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we sure love you and praise you. Lord, I pray you take this message and use it for your honor and glory. God, I pray you speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray that, Father, many, Lord Jesus, I pray that many would enlist, re-enlist, get back in. Lord, get faithful to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that God in heaven, you please would use the message to be a help to your people. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray they'd get saved. We sure do love you and praise you. Thank you so much for all you've done. God, I pray we've done your will tonight. Lord, I pray that, Father, you please, would be glorified in people's lives. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, Preacher, if I died, I'm not sure I'm saved. Christian, if God spoke to you, would you come? These altars are open. These altars are open. If you're not saved tonight, would you come and let us get a Bible and show you how to be saved? Would you come? Man of God is standing down front. God spoke to your heart. Would you come? He's standing right down front. God's speaking to your heart about something or a decision for Christ. Would you come tonight and make that decision for the Lord? Make it public. What kind of soldier are you, church? Are you going to leave tonight and just say, oh, well, I'll just keep doing what I've always been doing? Are you a real soldier? A real soldier.